Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but it's how to make you successful. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show, sharing the show with a friend, reaching out to me on the social media sites, giving me a follow, finding me on YouTube. All of those things I'm incredibly thankful for. You can find me at How to Build a Tent on the social media sites. You can also email me matt@howtobuildatent.com if you're not the social media type. This show is also on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to fightlaughfeast.com. Become a member. Just send out a bunch of mugs today. Put in HTBT in the memo field if you want me to send you a mug as well. It is included with your subscription. You also get tons of great content that is continually being put out. David is working hard to be polishing, putting out great quality content, getting great speakers, special guests, and all of those things. But most of all, you're coming alongside the when doing and being a part of and supporting what the Lord is doing with this network. And it's a great thing to be able to do that. So thank you for all of those people who have signed up, who are thinking about signing up, using that code HTBT, put that in the memo field, just like this mug, and you can have some coffee with me. It's actually water because coffee kind of dries out my throat. And if I'm going to be talking for 20 minutes plus, I don't want to start coughing and hacking. That does not make for a good podcast experience, believe it or not. Today, I want to talk about the difference between being stubborn and persistent. And I want to draw this contrast because there's a lot of times in startups and entrepreneurship where you have to put your nose down and grind through things. And there's going to be tough times. There's going to be doubts. There's going to be internal strife to, I don't know how else to say it, but there's going to be like conflict in yourself of knowing, should you go on or should you fold your cards and start something else, give up on entrepreneurship altogether. And we've talked about this multiple times, but it's an important thing to develop because it is a natural part of the business starting experience. And you need to be wise to discern, am I just being stubborn or do I need to persevere? Do I need to push through and keep on chugging along? So I want to talk about the differences between those two things and why we should be persistent, not stubborn. And I want to talk about an example of somebody you know well who was persistent and pushed through, didn't give up on what he thought he or what his goals were and what he thought he wanted to do with his life. And it worked out for him. And it's just great to be reminded of these people because it gives us kind of motivation as well. And I think part of surrounding ourselves in good community, and community in common, as I've called it before, we should also be looking to people that have done it to encourage us as well and to learn from them, which is really important. Before we touch into that, I wanted to touch on some two other things. One, the EU is agreeing to extend the Brexit deadline to October 31st, which should mean, as you are listening to this, the stock market is probably getting a good bounce from that. We'll see. I'm recording this before the market opens and after the market closed the day before the news came out. So that'll be a good sign. And also, it just seems like all of a sudden there's been the shift of we're not going into a recession anymore. At least that's the feel I get from the people I read and listen to. And that is also a good thing. And it'll be interesting to see how earnings go. I've got my bets locked in and it's kind of fun. It's like playoffs for sports betting, except it comes like four times a year for the quarters. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be, there's expectations are kind of moderate. So I think there's going to be some surprises and then maybe some shockers as well in how good certain companies do. But if you are doing your homework, if you're doing the research and you're not just blindly betting on things, you're going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. The stock market's not going to come crashing anytime soon. The next thing I wanted to talk about before we got into the stubborn versus persistent is this really interesting problem that I've been thinking about, and it's an efficiency problem. Now, when you're in a startup, you have a small amount of people, and just by nature and by necessity, because you have such limited resources, you guys are really doing everything. There's no function that is just yours. Like if you are the CEO, you're also doing customer service. You're also doing marketing. You're also doing operations. If you're operations, I'm sure you're jumping in to do customer service and help problem solve and help work through different areas. If you're in finance, I'm sure you're working with marketing to discuss, you're with legal, depending on what kind of company you have, what kind of departments you need from the beginning. And there's no really like siloed work job descriptions where you're just, this is it. It's a very fluid, as a lot of you know in startups. Some people love that, some people hate it. Conversely, on the other side, in a large company, things are very siloed. You would never see a finance person jumping in and doing marketing things or operations doing finance things. And they're just very siloed. They're very isolated. And I want to kind of just give this hypothetical scenario. And I hope this makes sense, for especially for those listening, where we're going to go with this. But the only reason I'm talking about this is because I want to hear what you guys think about this as well, because it's kind of an interesting problem. So on one extreme, in the startup small world, everyone's doing everything. Everyone is basically at max production, right? The most you can produce as an individual, doing whatever you can for the small business, you're doing it. Because like I've said before, a startup's like a sinking ship, and you're launched with a big hole in the ship, and you're trying whatever you can to find market fit, to get traction, to get sales before the boat goes under. And so it's just a panic. Everyone's doing everything they can to get this boat to work. But a big large company is like a big cruise ship that's hard to steer, but it's floating. The processes, the products offered, all of that has been proven, tested, works. Any changes are small, incremental, and everyone kind of has their role. So those are there's the sinking ship for the small business, and then there's the large cruise ship as the big business. And so those are two extremes. But what's interesting about it is when you don't have people that are going to other roles and having cross-functional ability, sometimes you lose efficiency. When you were smaller, if you had free time, you would jump in and help other people. But in a large company, you can't just necessarily do that. Or if you have a good idea, or if you have just free time, or you have some thoughts or critiques, you can't just freely go to, in most large companies, you can't just go to another department and say, hey, I got this idea. They'll laugh at you because there's politics, there's the culture, there's the bureaucracy, and then they have their whole schedule and they might be working at full capacity and they just don't have time to hear your ideas. They don't have time to listen, to take your project, whatever it is. And so what happens is that person with that idea drops the idea or leaves it. And I kind of went through this scenario. Let's just assume a large company has 10 units of capacity in operations and finance has 10 units of capacity in there. So both of them at max capacity is producing 10 units each. And then assume that operations is running at 10 units. So the operations is busy. It's like the end of the month. If you're like in real estate where it's like this, like incredibly busy at the end of the month, and you're just going, you're like even over 10%, but you are just super busy. And then finance, they're only working at 7%. So they have 3 units that are not being used. The individual employee maybe has some time on his hands, doesn't know what to do. Maybe he, you know, checks his portfolio, is on Facebook, and he would like to do more. He just isn't able to because there's nothing to do. And in a small business, that finance person would jump in and help operations. Maybe he's inefficient. Maybe those 3 units can only equal 1 unit of operations because he doesn't know as much training and all those things. But that's kind of just beside the point. Is what do you do with those extra 3 units? Because either if the finance guy goes to the operations guy, he has to go through the bureaucracy, he has to go through the politics most likely, and then he has to find somebody who's going to take time off of this full production, everyone is in the grind, nose down working, and take time to listen to them. And what ends up happening in most cases is those ideas pitched from across the company, or across the department, across the function, from operations to marketing, from finance to marketing, whatever it is, kind of just falls to the wayside. And the finance guy may not be able to find time or find something to do with those extra units. And they just go wasted. And now multiply that by large companies and however many employees you have. And just wonder how how much that is happening. And I just thought that was an interesting thought, because you have one extreme where that really doesn't happen in a startup. You're not hiring people if they're not doing, they're not committed, they're not full-time, they're not sweating it out, they're not working. Any good idea you're going to use because you got to patch the ship from sinking. And if that is going to be what it takes to be successful, you're going to use it. You don't care if it was your idea, someone else's idea. And then you go to more of a more structured environment where people aren't as rushed. They have their duties, they have their roles, and it's siloed, and it's like operations people are messing with marketing people and so forth and so on. So what do you do with those? Like, how do you create a company that is going to utilize to full production all of those different resources, even if they aren't dedicated to a specific function of the company? And I just think this is very interesting because, again, the scaling factor of it. This isn't just one employee who has some time, but I'm sure a lot of people have different amounts of free time, depending. Sometimes they'll probably be more busy than others, but there's a lot of times that there is free time to go around. And how can companies at larger size be able to have efficiency like a small business? And that's the thing I've been thinking about. I don't really know the answer to it. I mean, there's like the culture can change, and you can change some kind of like processes to get people to feel comfortable, like with giving ideas. Maybe you have committees or initiatives where people can get involved. It's a really interesting one, and I'm going to continue to think about it, but I'd love to hear what you guys think too. How can big companies kind of break down those silos? How can they utilize people in other divisions, like cross-training maybe is a thing that they do? I don't know. What do you think? I'd love to hear from you. I think I'm going to do these things more, where I throw out just a concept, an idea, not really answer it, and then see what you think, because it's good to think about these things, especially if you are going to be a leader, a director, vice president, or if you are already, and then I'm a CEO. Like, these are things you need to think through, because it's not necessarily like, oh, you can see it on a sheet and says, oh, we are wasting $20 an hour per employee. But it's something that's kind of hypothetical and philosophical. Not hypothetical, philosophical, and I guess kind of hypothetical in this case, where those are things that can actually add value to the company, though, if you really understand it and know it's there. Maybe it's not as measurable as other costs are. But then, like, just imagine the margin. If there are 100 people out of a 1,000-person company that is only at 70% capacity, using 7 of their 10 units, and you got them to use 30% more, that's pretty cool. That's like 3% increase in overall production of your employees, and that's an extra value at no extra cost, because you're already paying them for those units that they're not wasting. That's a powerful thing to think about. Anyways, love to hear from you guys. Please email me and direct DM me. Love to hear what you guys have to say. So I want to jump into a story now of a good fella. I'm going to give you his name at the end so that you can try to guess in who it is beforehand. And then we'll talk about the difference between being stubborn and persistent, because I think there is a big difference, even though maybe the definitions are pretty similar. But there is just a different mindset when you are in that startup, when you are in that sinking ship of, when do I jump off the ship and when do I keep patching? And when do I see the problems as the end, or the problem as a guidepost to changing, to adjusting, to pivoting to something else to make it work? All right. Nowadays, this gentleman is a pop icon and a very wealthy man. Early in life, he faced his fair share of struggles. At age 15, he dropped out of school and bounced around jobs. He eventually landed in the mailroom of EMI Music Publishing. He worked his way up to the A&R department and then went on to form his own publishing company, E&S Music. Do any of you know who it is yet? All right, one more paragraph. Unfortunately, E&S folded in its first year. Ended up with a lot of debt and was forced to move back in with his parents, but he never gave up on his dream of working in the music industry and eventually landed a job with a small company called Fanfare Records. He worked there for 8 years and helped the company become a very successful label. From there, he spent his years signing talent and working behind the scenes before launching American Idol and X Factor, franchises that made him famous. Even though he's rich and successful, he continues to work on new projects, and this kind of dedication no doubt helped him overcome his early roadblocks. All right, so Simon Cowell, rejected, started a business, it failed, but he went back and he got experience at a company and then started branching off on his own. And no doubt he used that time to learn and to gain experience, to gain knowledge, to capitalize on the existing company and take that and apply it to his own businesses going forward. And what he did, he didn't give up. He didn't think that it wasn't for him anymore, but he shifted his strategy. He changed his tactics to getting to a place where he would have the successful recording artist. And then he was able to build out these shows that were like revolutionary, right? American Idol, which I hate the name, it's so stupid. It's like, why would you want to be idolized? It's like a big, big problem. But he was able to do these amazing things even though he first failed. And even though this isn't like a specific business context, that we should be persistent, even if that means giving up on the business we're working on, without giving up on the dream and the goal and the vision we have for our lives. And just thinking through some of the adjectives or the descriptors of being stubborn versus being persistent, I jotted some down. For being stubborn, I think of someone that's like set in their ways, that's not changing. Like no matter how much you can tell them, like what you're doing is wrong, it's stupid, it's not gonna work. Like you don't reevaluate, you're just like face down and you're charging ahead and you don't care what anyone else says. And that could be like, again, by vocabulary, something that can be described as persistent, but like I'm kind of just thinking more of the attitude of it, where you don't even stop to see like, okay, am I wrong? Am I right? And you're just, they're all wrong. I'm not even going to consider their opinions. I'm going to keep doing what I think is right. That is a dangerous attitude and what I would consider someone is stubborn, but not persistent. The next quality of being stubborn I think of is unreasonable. They have these grandiose ideas or they have these plans in their mind that are just not gonna work out. There's no way it's gonna work out and you can't reason with them, you can't walk through the steps with them. They're just completely unreasonable and they're not gonna change and they're not going to adjust, they're not gonna tinker with the process. They're just gonna keep on doing what they're doing. They're gonna keep putting money in, they're gonna keep putting time in, and eventually people are just gonna see it their way. That is stubborn to me and not persistent. They don't listen. They're deaf to people around them. They probably don't have a group of advisors they listen to, or they definitely don't respect. They may have them, but they don't listen to them. And then the last thing I just think about is this pride and arrogance. And that is, to me, the big differentiator between stubborn and persistent. Now, when I think about persistent, I think of someone who's goal-oriented, driven, and it doesn't mean that you're set in your ways and unchanging and whatever it needs to hit the goal. The goals can change, but it's not that they change like drastically. Like maybe you want to be in the sports industry and at first it's to be a professional football player, but then you get injured, but you still have that goal of being in the sports industry. So instead of the NFL, you become a general manager and you're managing the team. Like to me, that is someone who's goal-oriented and driven, persistent. They're not gonna give up on the idea, the goal of their dream, even though it might be different and look differently as you progress, as different life events happen to you, as all these different things, these roadblocks, these hurdles, these obstacles, these struggles, still being focused on the goal, still being persistent, but being able to make those adjustments. And then the second thing I think of is being creative and innovative. They're not just, this is my way and it's gonna work and I'm just gonna keep throwing money and keep putting sweat equity into it, but it's okay, is this working? And if it's not, how are we gonna solve this problem? How are we gonna innovate? What are the ways that we can make this work? What is not working? What is working? Okay, what do we need to focus on that is working? What do we need to focus on that's not working? How do we tweak what's not working to better optimize this system? How do we get profitable? Like that is a different mindset to me than somebody who's just like, it's gonna happen. People are going to see, they're finally going to realize what we have here. That's a completely different mindset. I hope you're kind of seeing the contrast that I'm painting here. And also a learner, it kind of goes along with being creative and innovative. You're trying to learn from the problem. You're trying to learn from the people around you. You're open to advice. You're open to instruction. You're flexible and you're comfortable with change. You're not stagnant. You're not thinking that that it's just going to be this way, but you're always looking for, okay, do I need to make this adjustment? Do I need to move this way? Do we need to move the company here? Do we need to close this office? Always looking for those adjustments. And most of all, the contrast, the opposite of prideful and arrogant is humility. And I think those are a great contrast between stubborn and persistent. And I think that is something great to keep in mind when being thinking, when you're in those moments as in a startup, in any, well, I guess anything in your career that you're struggling with, is should I give up or should I go on? Be thinking, like, am I being stubborn? Am I being hard-headed? Or am I being persistent? That is, am I looking for ways to go? I would rather go bankrupt. I'd rather get fired. Trying to be persistent, looking for innovative ways to do what I think is right, even if I fail, then being someone who's just stubborn, dogmatic, and isn't going to listen to anyone and just go down with the ship. And those are two different people, because what happens is oftentimes the persistent people that are flexible, learning, listening from people, even if they fail in that specific thing, in that specific role, will succeed because they're taking those failures and building on it and learning from it and going to tweak it, just like what Simon did in this story. He failed at his first company, but no doubt he learned things from that failure, decided to stay in the music industry like he felt like he that was his goal, his calling, and learned at his existing company, combined those two experiences, and then became the success that you know him today. And that is the key. That is the key. So don't be scared to fail if you're being persistent, because that is going to be a benefit to you in the long run, not just for you, but for other people that see what you're doing as well. Thinking of Edison, when he went through and he was like looking for different elements of his light bulb, he went to Colorado and he came up with a bunch of inventions to try to find these elements at a cheaper price, ended up failing because it was much cheaper even with his inventions than it was for mines on the East Coast for whatever reason. But what came of that failure was Henry Ford using and getting ideas for his Model T. So even your failures as an individual can be learning for you, but for learning for others. And those inventions or the things you come up with, those innovative strategies that you're trying to solve your problem with, that may not solve your problem or you may just fail anyways, might be a solution for somebody else. And that is another way that just society does better under capitalism, under the idea that you are responsible for yourself and you are to make something of yourself, because it spurns you on to do things, to try, to take risks. And that benefits other people as well, even if you may fail yourself. All right. That is all. I hope that was helpful for you. And we will talk to you tomorrow.